He was decisive in his standards, in everything that he did, because he feared God more than death. He feared God more than anything else in this world. To talk about Daniel, you kind of need some history of the Israelites. And historically, the Israelites seem to have this certain routine, this kind of trend that they would love God and serve God, and all would be well and prosperity in the land. And then they would end up, you know, falling slowly and slowly into sin, compromise after compromise. And then God would allow their enemies to overtake them, and they'd be in captivity for a while. And then they serve God again. They cry out to God. They return to him, and then God delivers them from their enemies. And this happened over and over. And one of the most famous stories of Israelite captivity is in Egypt under Pharaoh, where the Egyptians saw that the Israelites were multiplying and growing stronger. And so his plan was, well, I'm going to oppress them. I'm going to persecute them. And through that, he realized that it's not working out. Like, we oppress them, they grow stronger. We persecute them, they just keep multiplying, and there's more and more. And that's kind of the pattern we see with persecution, is it brings out heroes of the faith. Like, persecution really, really pushes the best out of us. Right now in the world, 150,000 Christians a year are being killed for having faith in Christ and not holding that back from the world. And these places that people are being killed, that's where the church is growing most of the time. That's where the church is just thriving. And when people make a choice, there's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian in these places. Like, you make a choice, it might be a death sentence. They might be agreeing to, you know, God died for me, I'll die for him. I told this story here before, but I thought I'd tell it again. There was a young man in Turkey that I met named Dunya. And he was an English teacher. And he came to the church one day. He was just wandering around. And I was there working. And he came up to me and was like, started asking questions about the church, started asking questions about Christ and God and stuff. And so me and my supervisor there, we started doing a baptismal class with him. We started doing a discipleship program with him, and he just absolutely amazed us. He would come every week, and we'd say, read this part of the Bible, and we'll talk about it this week. And he'd read like 4 books ahead of us, and we'd go there and start talking, and he'd just have this insight and this perspective that we've never really got before. By the end of it, one of the things he said to me that stood out so much was, he was an English teacher. He said, you know, following Christ, I'm probably not going to get a job. Half my family right now, they won't talk to me because I've become a Christian. Things are not looking up for me right now. But you know what? I've read the Quran. I've looked into Buddhism. I've looked into Christianity. I've read the Bible, parts of the Bible, and I'm getting through it. And you know what? Jesus is really the only one that's done anything for me. He died on a cross for me. Like, Muhammad lived this life of prosperity and just lived the high life. And what does that have to do with me? Jesus did something for me, so I'm going to do something for him. He said, Jesus died for me, so the least I can do is live for him. And that stuck with me. And in the book of Daniel, you see this different kind, I don't know how to say it, but this different kind of thing. It's not persecution, but King Nebuchadnezzar at the time, king of Babylon, he knew his history. He knew that the Israelites didn't crack under persecution. They just kept growing. So he tried a different tactic. He tried enticing them. He tried making one of them into one of the Babylonians, make them think like them. He took Daniel, And the first time that Babylon besieged Israel, they took some of the best and brightest, some of the royal family, the noble families, and he took the young people and brought them into this fast-track school, I guess, to bring them into the king's service. And this is not oppressive, this is not anything like that. This is giving them a chance of the high life, giving them a chance to eat the good food, have the good, I guess, homes, live in the king's palace. He knew oppression didn't work, so he tried this prosperity to just give them that, because where persecution makes heroes, most of the time prosperity makes us useless. And it's very hard to find that balance, but today we need to find that, just like Daniel did. Daniel was in a new place. He had no reputation. He had no connections. Usually in these situations, we see people fall away from God. Young people go off to university. It's a new city. It's a new place. Half of my friends in high school that were great at school went to university, started partying because no one knew them there. Started partying. It's revealed who they really kind of were, and they just fell. Half of them dropped out of university, and just these new places, you see who you really are. He had new information. He had this secular education being taught to him. He was taught about Babylonian gods. He was taught about their legends, their culture, their reason, their worldview. It was 600 BC's version of secular education that, you know, we send our university students off to universities that they learn about evolution and Big Bang Theory and all these things, and they don't know how to take it. They don't know how to filter it through their Christian worldview. And they don't see it what it is. It's just a theory. And along with those things, Daniel was given a new name. Instead of Daniel, which means God is my judge, they gave him the name Belteshazzar, which means keeper of the secrets of Bel. And Bel is a Babylonian god. But in verse 8, it says that Daniel was determined not to defile himself with the meat and wine from the king's table. This is really good food, but he chose vegetables and water. This is not a message advocating for vegetarians. I am not even close to that. But this food was against Jewish food laws. It was probably sacrificed to Babylonian gods. And some scholars say that Daniel just knew that if he embraced every part of this culture, every part of this new culture that he was in, that there would be nothing left to separate him as a child of God. He could have been punished or killed for it. He knew the God he served. He knew his faith, and he knew the line, and he just decided not to cross it. Today in North America, we're not persecuted for our faith. I mean, sometimes there's a little here and there, but not to the extreme of most of the world. But instead, we have opportunities to make this life good. We make compromises sometimes that slowly eat away at our relationship with God. We end up talking like God exists, but acting or living like he has no impact on our life. Sometimes we stop living for eternity and we start looking at ourselves and looking at our kingdom. And sometimes, in actuality, we're no better than a good-intentioned atheist. We need to understand what every compromise does to us, to our relationship with God. It erodes our effectiveness. And the time we spend building up ourselves, taking advantage of the high life, chasing money, when we should be thinking of eternity and eternal things, it's just a waste of our time. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's what the Bible says. And a lot of the time we say that, we don't believe it. We don't show it with our actions. When I was about 13, I did this discipleship program back in Newfoundland. It was called Max Q. And it's by, I think it's by Andy Stanley. But Max Q is the point when a rocket takes off that the most pressure and the most heat is exerted. It's a curriculum that taught us to set standards, stick with them, not compromise, so that when that maximum pressure was upon us, when life got tough, we would not just crumble under the pressure. Taught us discipline, character, taught us that personal conviction is just that, personal conviction. I've made some decisions in my life that isn't shared by most of my Christian friends, but it's my personal conviction that I know that I shouldn't do this. I know that I don't go there. We all have little compromises that tempt us every day with our jobs, with our families. In and of themselves, a lot of them, just they aren't wrong. But we know what they lead to. We need to understand that the God, the all-powerful one that calls us to be a disciple and a follower of Christ, one that's disciplined, has conviction, starts bearing fruit. That God is the God who called us. Sometimes we fear everything else besides God. And the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Have that respect, that reverence toward God that just everything else kind of sinks into the background. There's a, this is in my notes, but it's from one of my favorite books by John Piper. It's called Don't Waste Your Life. And that's just what I'm talking about. There's a little plaque that he talks about in there, and it says, 'tis just one life, it'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And in this book, it's talking about living for eternity, not living for this life, not living for ourselves, not living, chasing the good life, even for our families. You know what? A lot of North American Christianity is family-based and puts family first in their values, but honestly, the Bible doesn't line up with that. The Bible says, you know, it's God first. Take care of your family. Yes, God, you know, he supports the family unit. He, you know, but the Bible says, if you are to follow me, in comparison, you are to hate your father, hate your mother. That doesn't mean that you should hate your father and mother. It just means in comparison that God is so much more powerful that you should love him so much more. We need to have conviction. We need to not compromise. When Daniel was tempted to compromise, he made a decision. And I suspect that even if that decision didn't go through, he would have still stuck with it and he would have died because of it. I just want to challenge you that this week, as we go about our day, we go to work, we come home, we're with our families, that we start thinking. And just thinking about every little thing we do and how to drink a glass of water for the glory of God, to do everything we do for the glory of God somehow. Because, in all honesty, that is absolutely all that matters. God, I thank you for this service. I thank you for that prayer time. I thank you for each other. And I pray that you will give us the strength. I pray that you will give us such a sense of your majesty, of your power, and your message, that we can't live just for this life. We can't live like we don't know where we're going. Lord, I pray that you will just break down any attachment we have to this world, and you will just be the absolute center of our lives. And we will live life in light of eternity and not just live this life. Lord, I pray that anything I said, it doesn't make any sense. I pray that anything I said that's not of you, Lord, you'll just make everyone forget it. And if they forget I even said this, that's okay too. Your will be done. And Lord, I pray that you just get me out of the way. And anything I say, it doesn't matter. But Lord, I pray that you will speak to us directly and challenge us and convict us. And Lord, I pray that you will just be such a part of our lives that people notice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to call Crystal to the front. She has an announcement about Mega Sports Camp. Run.
Awesome. Thank you, Travis. All right. It's almost Mega Sports Camp, and I'm so excited but slightly nervous. It's always nerve-wracking when there's a whole bunch of kids in here, so many families, new families to meet. And seriously, like, I don't know if you guys know this, but when Marlo shares with you about how many kids come through our doors that maybe have a different church background, there's some new churches rolling into town, or have never come in here before, it's like 75%. It's like crazy. It's such a phenomenon how God has decided to use Eaglemont and you guys and the youth to bless our community. Like, we get phone calls all the way in January for this. And we filled up, like, within, like, 3-4 weeks. Hey, Maureen? Like, it was crazy. So would you just put your hands up, and I want to pray for this week. And extend your hand maybe to the youth, because the youth are, like, really helping us. Like, huge. They're, like, the backbone of this. Like, I mean, I could entertain probably 100 kids for an hour, but all week, like, these guys are amazing. And I don't even pay them. Well, I pay them with Starbucks sometimes. They're good for that. All right. God, we thank you so much for the youth that are going to be pouring into the kids' lives, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would give them wisdom as they speak to the kids one-on-one, the things that they're coming through the doors of Eaglemont with, the things that are burdened on their heart. Lord, I just pray that they would find freedom and peace in you, whatever they're going through, that you would give wisdom to the youth on how to navigate difficult circumstances and conversations. Lord, that you would empower them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak the fullness of who you are, the true love story to those kids. Lord, I just pray for all of the people else involved, the snack prep and all the coaches, sport coaches. Lord, I bless them. Thank you for giving up a week of their summer to pour into the lives of the community, that our community would be forever changed by you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come alongside of what you're doing. Lord, we don't take that for granted. Lord, you know the other things that aren't fully, all my ducks aren't in a row, Lord. I just pray for that. I already thank you for the holes that you're going to fill, because you're way bigger than those little things. I don't have to worry. Lord, thank you for everyone else who's involved. Lord, I just pray that they would be a blessing and that they would be blessed 10 times full. In your name, amen. I'm just joking.
Miriam's going to pray for you. And I know you have a couple announcements to make, but we'll do that in a moment. Let us come in between here and extend your hand and join in prayer for Crystal. And she's got such a heart for kids and for bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to children and families, and it's phenomenal. Our church is blessed. We pray strength for you, Crystal.
God, I thank you for Crystal's amazing heart for people, for this community, for your work. Thank you, God, that she has a vision that is incredible and just wants to see so many kids come to know you, God. And that is our heart as well. I pray for strength and your just amazing health for her for over these next few weeks, God. Give her incredible peace about the things that are just coming her way and things that will sometimes just come up. But God, I pray that she would just walk in your peace and walk in your strength. And God, I pray for an amazing, amazing time these next couple weeks. And I just thank you again that you are in this. This is not us doing this on our own strength. This is in your strength, God. And you have provided this amazing opportunity for us. So I thank you, God, and we pray a blessing again on Crystal, her team, and everybody that's involved. And we pray especially for the hearts of the children that are coming, that they might be open to receive from you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right. I know that I potentially look like I can run around for days, but I do get tired sometimes. And especially when it comes to things that are heavy. If I could have about 3 or 4 dads that could help me bring those big, massive IKEA cubbies down here, that would be fantastic. I also have, we are going to Jackie Parker Park on Thursday afternoon. If there's any grandmothers or parents that would like to, or grandpas, that want to help on the Thursday, that would be the biggest blessing to me just because it is a public area and I take safety on a very high standard when we go to public places. So if there's any more hands that would like to help out with field trips, that would be great. Thank you for coming. No, yes, yes. Oh, hands. Any dads that want to help me? Woo, dads. Yes, thank you very much. I can't do it without you guys. Awesome. And then if any of you are willing to go on any field trips in the afternoons, the bus always leaves at 12:30, comes back at 4, please email me, phone me. That would be great. Thank you for making this Sunday a part of your regular activities. Hope you have an awesome day. Well, you're clapping for me. Okay.